Okay, thanks a lot. And I'm really going to be addressing the question that was asked before. What kind of impact is this weevil having on mile-a-minute growth and seed production? You've already seen the kind of impact that mile-a-minute can have on native plants and also on regeneration of hardwood trees in certain areas. If we're going to really control it, though, using biological control, since it's an annual plant, as you can see, the vines die in the winter. The following spring, you see large numbers of seedlings where this plant is well established. You really have to have some way of controlling that seed bank, those seeds. Large numbers of seeds are produced each year. They do survive for at least 3 years, probably more like 5 to 7 years in the seed bank. So insect feeding, if it's going to have any kind of impact, it has to ultimately reduce the quantity or quality of seeds that are being produced, either through plant mortality or by some kind of reduction in plant vigor or more direct impact on seed production. So we're very concerned about that question. Now, the larval feeding, as you've seen, they do feed internally. And you can see damaged nodes evident. When the neonates hatch out of the eggs, they do go into the stems near the nodes. And you can sometimes see a slight scar there. And then when they come out, at times, at least, you can see a gaping hole. Sometimes it's a more subtle hole when they fall to the ground to pupate. Now, in China, there had been some reports that the terminals then die. And we saw this to some degree in the quarantine as well. The terminals would die, so obviously no seed production on that terminal. But in fact, in the field, we don't see that all too often. Occasionally, we do. We do see some possible reduction in seed numbers, as I'll show you. You've already seen the adults feed on the leaves and terminals. They produce these characteristic feeding holes. They do chew on the terminals and sometimes on the developing seeds as well. We decided to look at this first by looking at the impact of weevils on single mile-a-minute plants in field cages. So we created these large field cages, put them over single mile-a-minute plants that were growing naturally in the field. And in our first year pilot study, we found that, in fact, there was a highly significant difference in the number of seeds produced and in the plant dry weight depending on sun exposure. So as you can see, in plants that were growing in full sun, they produced more than 2,200 seeds per plant. And the dry weight was also considerably higher than plants that were grown in partial sun, which only produced about 500 seeds per plant. And plants in the shade produced even less. So in 2006, we took all this into account, and we decided to establish five treatments. An early low treatment where weevils were added to the cages at a rate of 5 weevils per cage early in the season, May 26th, and then an early high treatment, same treatment, only 20 weevils per plant, and then late low and late high, same treatment levels, but about a month later, and this would be similar to what you would expect when the second generation of weevils comes out. As Ellen told you before, you have continuous production of overlapping generations. And then we had control treatments that didn't have any weevils added. Most of these cages were in full sun, but at any rate, they were blocked by location. This shows you what the single plants looked like inside the cage before the weevils were added. And as you can see, we cleared out most of the plants from around the plants, most of the weeds, if you will, from around the plants, so that we could put a screen down at the bottom of the cage and collect seeds as they were shed by these plants later in the season. Just to show you what some of these plants looked like late in the season. They were quite eaten up, but they still did produce some seeds, as you can see. There was certainly a suppression there, but there were seeds being produced. If you look at the seed production in the first 9 weeks, you can see that the early low and the early high produced virtually no seeds in the first 9 weeks of seed production. The control is in green here. And the late high and the late low did produce about as many seeds as the control. Now, in the second half of the seed production, unfortunately, all of these plants, even the most suppressed, even the early high, did start to produce some seeds. So by the end of the season, there was no significant difference between seed production and the control and any of the other cages with weevils. Now, we did note the seed size. We estimated seed size by weighing groups of seeds, and it was reduced in the weevil cages. So there was an effect on seed quality. Now, we did notice when we removed all the plants from around these focal myelominute plants, we got some very large, unusually robust-looking myelominute plants. So in 2007, we decided to leave some of the existing vegetation around the focal myelominute plant in the cages in our cage studies. We did trim it down to about a foot high, but we left it there for some level of more natural competition. We had four treatments this past summer, 0, 10, 20, which had been our high the previous year, and 40 weevils per plant, all added early. Our plan was three destructive samples at six-week intervals. However, we got considerable plant mortality, so we combined the last two samples. This shows our cages. Again, they were blocked by location. And you can see that by June 22nd, there was already quite a bit of plant mortality. It was zero in the control, quarter of the plants with 10 weevils, half of those with 20, and up to 58% with 40 weevils. So they were having substantial impact on survival of the plants this past summer with a little bit of plant competition. By the end of July, again, just one plant of the control died, but up to three quarters of the plants with 40 weevils. So certainly they were having a big impact with those numbers in the fields. Now, how do you get these numbers? Well, either through rearing and release or in-field reproduction. And as Ellen mentioned, these weevils have been reared since 2004 by the New Jersey Department of Ag Beneficial Insects Lab in Trenton, New Jersey. And this work was conducted by Dan Palmer and Amy Dierks. And as you can see, they grew myelominute plants, pair adults in oviposition cages on these plants, and then move the plants to larval rearing containers with humid environment. The larvae then drop out into these boxes, and the adults come out and are collected from the boxes. So quite an efficient rearing operation is ongoing, and they've been releasing most of these weevils in New Jersey. Since this is a Department of Ag facility that's supported in New Jersey, most of them have been released in New Jersey. And you can see, as of the end of 2007, 44 sites, or 37 unique sites, have received more than 64,000 weevils. They've recovered them at virtually every site. There was one site where they weren't recovered, but for the most part, they've established. They've also been reared and released in several other states, or reared in New Jersey and released in several other states, all in the mid-Atlantic region. As you can see, several sites in Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, and Maryland. Now, this shows you that, in fact, at least based on pictures, they've been having quite an effect at least some of the sites in New Jersey. 2006, this Floodgate Road site in October had tremendous damage, similar to what we saw in the cages. And if you take this foliage and shake it over a clipboard, they found hundreds of weevils. So there is a potential for nursery rearing, we feel, developing a field nursery to rear these insects without going through the laboratory rearing procedure. And this same site in 2007, quite a bit of mortality there. Another of their sites, and again, these are Mark Mayer's photographs from New Jersey. You can see July 2005, a monoculture at this Mason Point Abbots Meadow site. 2006, grasses coming in, and then by October 2007, more diversity of plants. And again, the Floodgate roadside by October 2007, Mark Mayer at least stated that myelominute was reduced to the point where it was no longer the dominant plant in the ecosystem. Now, Ellen told you about her three sites. We did look at seed clusters being produced at her sites, and looking at two peaks of seed cluster production, again before the seeds are shed, we did find at the laurels in particular, where we had the highest number of weevils present, that there was a significant drop in seed cluster production from 2005 to 2006. And the same thing at the BVA site, but no reduction at the wetland site. Similar things can be seen in peak two, And just to remind you, the populations in 2006 were very high at the Laurels, and intermediate at the Krepp site, and then lowest at the Wetland site. So certainly there's some indication there of reduction in seed production. Also, while Ellen and our technician were doing these seed cluster counts, they noticed that the number of seeds per cluster seemed to be lower where they were impacted by weevil feeding. So in 2007, they set up some transects at release sites and also at two control sites where there was very little weevil activity. They counted seeds per cluster in 120 clusters near these transect sites in mid-September. And this is what they found, and really quite dramatic. At the Laurels, which had the highest weevil numbers, in fact, the mean number of seeds per cluster was down around 6, compared to the two control sites, where there were about 12 seeds per cluster. And also at the Krepp site and at the BVA wetland site, there was a significant reduction. So in summary, in cages with plant competition, we did find substantial plant mortality at 10 to 40 weevils per plant. At some of the New Jersey release sites, and certainly at the Laurels, we did find high numbers of weevils developing in the field, and we do have good evidence of reduced seed quality and quantity due to weevil feeding.
We have time for one or two questions.
Yes?
I was wondering if you looked at germination rates of these seeds.
Yeah, that's a good question about germination rates. We have not done that. We should, because the first year was kind of an afterthought. Well, we've got all these seeds that we've counted. Why don't we take aliquots of 100 and weigh them? And, you know, I was kind of surprised to find that the weight was lower. One would expect that that would be lower germination. But in order to get them to germinate, you have to go through a process of putting them in the cold and, you know, scarifying them, and we just didn't do that yet. But that's a good question. Yes?
For your cage experiments, did you also somehow manage to get the seed production for non-caged?
Yeah, no, we did not look at seed production for non-caged. And that's a good point. I mean, you might think, well, gee, there were no bees there. There was no pollination going on. And in fact, we do see bumblebees, you know, out there. But it's a self-pollinating plant, so they produce plenty of seeds that are germinable without any insects. The survival may have been. Yeah, that's true. Now, of course, we had the control cages, which were our main comparative. Plants. And there were a lot of other differences, mainly the plant competition outside. I mean, there's huge monoculture with competing with each other, and it's impossible to separate out one plant from another in the wild.
That your cage experiment came to a different conclusion than what's happening in the field. The cage experiment was sort of.
Well, the first year, the second year, when we had individual plants with no competition at all, yeah, they did produce seed. But then we did get plant mortality the next year, so we were certainly seeing an impact. Yeah?
To go along with the other question about cage, what about using an insecticide exclusion approach to investigate?
Yeah, well, when we first started this, there were no weevils out there to be excluded. So you know, it was very early in the process of releasing them. But now it seems to be becoming ubiquitous. There are still plenty of sites where there are no weevils, but that would be an approach that we could use now to really see. Right, which might be a better way to go, ultimately.
Okay, thank you very much, Judy.